You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 29th, 2022, we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com in the search engine, enter Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you to our page. You can see previous rumbles and push live to join us in studio now. All programs later are posted at rumble.com, as are all podcasts at larryconnorsusa.com. A federal judge siding with President Trump, announcing, quote, her preliminary intent to appoint a special master to review the documents seized by the FBI from Mar-a-Lago earlier. The special master means that someone that is not partisan to either side will take a look at all the documents, and especially those to determine which documents and materials are protected by attorney-client privilege and executive privilege. That's a key point. The decision by the judge, based on Trump submissions and, as according to a statement from the court, the exceptional circumstances presented. And I would add exceptional is basically a very mild word. Outrageous is what I'd start with. The Iranian president is warning his country will not take part in any nuclear deal that Biden is trying to negotiate and push through if inspectors from the UN don't stop investigating undeclared nuclear sites. Now, does that make sense to you as to why we should even continue? If you missed my guest the last hour, Fred Flights, 25-plus years in intel, he knows of what he speaks. And if you miss that interview, you want to hear him tell about how the Iranians even got stuff into the language that still says they refuse to take out language that they would not try to kill Americans, and we're willing to sign on something like that. And on top of that, almost humorously, how the Iranians try to hide some of their stuff, but their equipment doesn't detect it, so they think it's hidden. It's like if you close your eyes, you think the sun has gone dark. No, you just have your eyes closed. If you missed it, go back and hear that interview with Fred Flights in hour one. Senator Elizabeth Warren says she's very worried about we're going to see a recession. Aha. But, she said, my concern is the Federal Reserve will tip our economy into recession. In other words, it won't be Biden's fault. And I guess who's going to define the word recession at that point? Illinois listeners in that region, you should listen up. If you are part of the section of Illinois electing Congressman Adam Kinzinger, you should know you elected him as a Republican, but now he says, I'm going to help left-wing Democrats win over Republicans because he believes they do not respect democracy. He's echoing what Biden said the other day, that MAGA Republicans are bad, bad for America. They're fascist. He said, I like conservative people and but not the MAGA people. Kinzinger said, this country cannot survive outside of democracy. Well, I agree with that. But then he said, otherwise we'll turn into a power struggle between groups of different races, ethnicities, different religions. We're getting there, aren't we? Because of what's happening right now. In Mississippi, the governor has declared a state of emergency, flooding from the Pearl River, expected to crest possibly a little bit later today, if not already, at 36 feet. City of Jackson facing extensive flooding. In Mayor Lightfoot's Chicago, 35 shot over the weekend, 8 killed in one weekend. Planning a trip to Chicago, I'd say be very, very careful. NBC, because of viewership and revenues continuing to fall, NBC is thinking about cutting the number of hours it programs for primetime TV. That means primetime programming on NBC would end at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Local stations have to figure out something or go to syndicators. Oh, make note of this. A 1952 Mickey Mantle rookie baseball card smashing all records, selling for the highest auction price ever. 1952 Mickey Mantle rookie baseball card selling for $12.6 million. I think I had about six of those. And I know what I did with them. I took clothespins and stuck them on my bicycle and the cards in to go through the spokes so it sounded like a motorcycle. There went $12.6 million.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. Good vibrations. She's giving me
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
DOJ released a heavily redacted version of the affidavit used to search former President Trump's home. The document looks more like a Rorschach inkblot test than a legal filing. But there were a couple of new items. The word obstruction was used, which may foreshadow another line of criminal inquiry. There was discussion about where the documents were stored at Mar-a-Lago, which is strange because DOJ's position is Trump wasn't entitled to the documents no matter how many padlocks were on the door.
That's Trey Gowdy, former Congressman, Republican of South Carolina, now has his own program on Fox on Sunday evenings, talking about the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago, and then by order of the judge the other day, the Department of Justice having to release the affidavit, which I told you in the beginning. It's fine to see the notice to have the search warrant and a receipt of what items were taken, but you really want to know the reason they went in, and that has to be inside the affidavit. What was presented to the judge that would sign off and allow the raid to go forward? And then we go through the numerous questions that follow, because we were led to believe this is critical. It had to be done right now, and yet Attorney General Merrick Garland set on the search warrant for 3 days. Timing is everything with this administration. Not just that we're nearing the midterm elections, which we'll come to in a moment, but Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, was on that Friday testifying before members of the Senate, and so they want to make sure he was finished, with his testimony, so he couldn't be grabbed about it. President Biden was off on vacation in Kiowa Island or somewhere. Members of Congress were dispatching everywhere to go out and campaign, try to get reelected. So timing was everything. And if it was so important, why did they wait? Trey Gowdy, when he looks at this affidavit, he's not like maybe you and me. I have to admit, I don't have that kind of extensive legal knowledge. Maybe you do. But he was a former federal prosecutor. So he knows what should be in it and what it shows and what it shouldn't. And basically, like he said, you end up looking at just a page at 25% plus of the document was redacted. Those bold black lines where you couldn't read anything. As I mentioned in news and commentary a moment ago, we now have a special master being appointed to take a look at some of the documents that Trump and his legal team are claiming they're protected by client privilege. And some might be protected not as a personal client privilege, but also presidential privilege. A lot of that's still to be hashed out. The bottom line, it still looks like this is just an argument over pieces of paper that he either improperly filed or mistakenly taken to Mar-a-Lago, or maybe they were taken down there when Trump was holding his winter White House, which he did from time to time. Who knows? No one can, from my knowledge of what I've seen, no one has said when they arrived and did Trump know about them. And previously, the FBI had been to Mar-a-Lago. He showed them around, showed them where some of them were, and the FBI made a recommendation, you need to secure that area more so. And he said, okay. And he said they could have anything they want. They were already in the process of negotiating with the Attorney General's office over the National Archives and their attorneys. The purpose of it? Well, you would have thought the affidavit would give you more information on it, didn't you? Well, there's where we have the difficulty. Governor Chris Sununu, Republican of New Hampshire, said when you look at that affidavit and you look at, what's the date on the calendar, Governor Sununu?
If you're going to take unprecedented action and raid a former president's house, well, you better have a strategy for unprecedented transparency. So I think we're all concerned about what might be in those documents. There were some were classified, some weren't, you know, what the serious nature was. But show us. And let's remember, this has been a year and a half in the making, right? The former President Trump has been out of office for going on 2 years now. Why? We think this is a coincidence just happening a few months before the midterm elections and all that sort of thing. So, you know, this is unprecedented, and they had to have an unprecedented strategy, which they clearly didn't have. They're on their heels. They don't know what to do. We want to see the information so we can have this discussion. We can talk about the subject matter, you know, with some sense.
Now, you kept him. That was the CNN anchor of that program. I was amazed that they. I mean, Sununu did just go there and say, I want to be on CNN. They had to call and set up. They're trying to show, I guess, we're trying to become a less biased network. So we'll have on opposition leaders like Sununu and let him go on about this is an unprecedented raid and it's not being explained properly. We're not seeing everything. And you kept hearing she had a point to make that, one, well, you can't have everything put out on the table because it's supposed to protect either, quote, an additional investigation, which we don't really know what that is, or is it just adding more fuel to the fire, and there's really nothing there anyway to burn up. It just adds to January 6th. It adds to this. Any way to attack Trump and our Trump supporters, or conservatives in general, any way possible to damage them in advance of the midterm elections. And, of course, protecting witnesses was supposed to be part of it. So if they put all this information about witnesses out, then that would be an issue. We need to circle back, as they were saying in the White House when What's-Her-Face was in there, instead of the current White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, when she was there. But dealing with that CNN anchor who kept trying to interrupt Sununu and say, and what she was trying to get across when he raised the point, as I said going into that soundbite, I said, Governor Sununu, what is the date on the calendar? As you heard him say in that sound, let's remember this has been a year and a half in the making. You think this is a coincidence? This is happening just a few months before the midterm elections? It's not even months at that point. We're within weeks. Well, but the CNN, even though they're going to be unbiased and everything else, they were loaded with a graphic to show, oh, no. This hasn't been undergoing for months. Listen to the CNN anchor explain the graphic that they were showing their audience.
We want to see the information so we can have this discussion. We can talk about the subject matter, you know, with some sense.
I want to move on, but before I do, I just want to show our viewers, and I'm not sure if you can see it, but I'll tell you the timeline. It's not as if the archives and then the FBI and the Justice Department were not trying. They didn't just wake up one day and said, I'm going to go into Mar-a-Lago. It started in May 2021, and it ended with the search, but it was after an exhaustive attempt to get this information. And it just so happened that the timing ended where it did.
Just so happened, coinky dinky. Does she not hear herself how stupid that sounds? It just so happened. It ended then. And yet, why did it have to even be carried out then? Because we were approaching midterm elections. Make no mistake about this. This was a political action. This was weaponizing the FBI again by the Biden administration and other agencies, and weaponizing as they did during the Obama years. And then, of course, plotting with Hillary to start the Russian collusion story. Remember the book Shattered that came out behind the scenes with Hillary Clinton and the campaign loss? And that Robbie Mook, one of her chief advisors, said, you know, what we need to do is let's say that the Russians helped Trump get elected. And it started off as a lark, but it took fire because, oh, yeah, get on that bandwagon. And all this information being kept from full view right now, except for, as I told you a moment ago, the Justice Department admits that it might well have taken some attorney-client material. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. And Jonathan Turley, a law expert, Georgetown University professor, and also a Fox News contributor, pointed out, after the court stated an intention to appoint a special counsel, as I told you a moment ago, then the Justice Department admitted, well, we might have attorney-client material. And Turley says, that's precisely why Garland should have supported a special master from the onset. But they didn't want to, because they wanted, again, to try to conceal it. Now, again, their storyline is to protect information and, in particular, protect witnesses. Listen to former Congressman Trey Gowdy, now a Fox News host, explain that part.
And the department and FBI took a petty, sophomoric swipe at Kash Patel. You may recall DOJ didn't want the affidavit released at all, even with redactions, because of potential danger to agents and witnesses. And then DOJ left Kash's name unredacted, thereby endangering a witness. And they wonder why people think there's a double standard.
Yeah, you don't have to think. It's right in front of you, isn't it? Why would they leave Kash Patel's name unredacted when all the other witnesses were redacted? Just as Trey Gowdy said, a sophomoric slap at Trump and the administration that he had and those who served under him. Now, it's not clear what Kash Patel said, if he just simply said, yeah, there's some documents down there. I know there are, but I don't know what he said. Because apparently a lot of that material is redacted, but his name got left clear so they could see it. No problem with that. So Kash Patel, I'm reading from a Newsweek article now, said, yeah, my life is now intentionally jeopardized by the Department of Justice. They made my name, left it on that FBI affidavit warrant, unredacted. He said the FBI has been investigating death threats made against him. Kash Patel was a one-time aide to former President Trump and said, my life was intentionally jeopardized because the FBI left my name unredacted. He posted on Truth Social, the Trump Twitter page, today marks another vicious attack by the DOJ and FBI who intentionally jeopardized my safety by unredacting my name in the most reviewed search warrant in the history of the U.S. This cartel of corruption inside-out government is so devoid of concern about national security, they could not be bothered to see the judge in person. He's talking about that they simply had to call the raid in on the home of the former president via, he said, FBI's friend Zuckerberg's WhatsApp app. Oh, by the way, Patel points out, Brown Lives Matter. He said these gangsters are on notice. Every excuse they give falls back on them, splashes back, blows up in their face. It goes back basically to the pledge that Biden made in the beginning when he took his oath of office. Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, said, look at what he said and then immediately what he did.
I was there on Inauguration Day during his speech when he said we need to unify the country. And we all agreed with that, frankly. And then what did he do? 2 hours after that, yeah. He went to the Oval Office and signed 21 executive orders that divided the country. And here he goes again. I mean, this is as Mercedes pointed out, this is like when Peter Strzok said to Lisa Page in that one text message when he's in the Walmart in Northern Virginia, he said, I can smell the Trump supporters. The disdain they have for, yes. for conservatives, for Republicans, for President Trump supporters is wrong. And again, the country understands that.
Yeah, they do. And of course, Zuckerberg himself admitted the other day, well, the FBI came to us and told us the Hunter laptop. Now, he said, we didn't specifically discuss that. I still have a hard time believing that. But the FBI saying there might be Russian propaganda coming your way. Beware of it. And so when the laptop story broke through the New York Post and all the, quote, mainstream media at the time were calling it propaganda because the FBI told them it would be, that's why Facebook began to throttle back it being passed around the Internet. And Twitter shut them down entirely. Well, the FBI has since admitted, we don't deny that we warned them. We do that from time to time. Well, of course they do. We know that. But we're talking about what the real motive was. And I remind you again, we're talking about FBI leadership. And when you talk trying to bring the country together, where we are now, Biden has not only missed the bus, the train, the plane, he's in the basement somewhere.
Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There just are a litany of concerns about a nuclear deal with Iran, starting with the fact that this deal doesn't address Iran's state sponsorship of terrorism, which includes their attempt to assassinate our former National Security Advisor, John Bolton. It doesn't deal with their ballistic missile program, and the fact that we found uranium at three previously undisclosed facilities in Iran that President Raisi refuses to discuss as part of this deal. But the overriding concern is that there's no chance that any such deal could be incorporated into a treaty because Democrats as well as Republicans in the Senate so strongly oppose it.
Those are the words of a former CIA station chief, Dan Hoffman, appearing on Fox News. He's saying this, so many concerns about Iran having a new nuclear deal that would allow them to continue to build nuclear materials, not to better their country and bring it out of the Stone Age, as they would have you believe that we just want to power and light and that kind of stuff. No, to weaponize and use against Israel or anyone else they choose. If you missed my interview in the last hour with Fred Flights, 25-plus years in national security and intel, you need to go back and pull it up and listen to it because he explains in great detail how the Iranians had tried to hide some of these traces of radioactive nuclear material, which means they're working on a bomb. They've been doing it. They're going to continue doing it. Oh, and then one part he explains is pretty funny, actually, as to how Iran tries to hide some of the traces of enriched uranium. It's humorous. If you miss that hour, please go back and listen. I want to read to you, though, in the meantime, a piece from the New York Post, an editorial position. It states, it's bad enough that President Biden continues his dangerous effort to resuscitate the Iran nuclear deal. Worse yet is the risk that the White House will settle for a worse-than-necessary agreement out of crass political calculation, strategic imperatives be damned. The Biden version is already worse in every particular way than the rotten accord President Barack Obama entered into in 2015. Now, again, this is a New York Post editorial written by the Post editorial board, no one in particular. And the Obama PAC emboldened Iran, the ultimate bad faith actor, which frustrated serious nuclear facility inspection efforts from the start and continued its worldwide terror campaign. And it's also pointing out that Biden, yeah, did strike at the Iranian Revolutionary Guard assets in Syria, but why do that when you see they're doing hostile actions, evidence right in front of you, and you fire missiles to shut down some, and yet you're still talking about allowing them to get hundreds of millions up to $1 trillion in a new nuclear deal and lifting sanctions? The editorial statement from the Sun Post points out again, Tehran is now testing how many more concessions Washington will make to get a deal finalized. And again, they're pointing out all for political expedience to help Biden at the polls. And there are a lot of Democrats, as you heard from the former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman, that also had concerns about this deal. They're not likely to sign off on it. And he points out something that's very evident. CIA station chief, former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman.
Iran is a nuclear threshold state right now, and even if a deal were signed with those nuclear sunset clauses, we'd only increase the time before Iran could have a nuclear weapon to maybe a couple of years. So there's a lot of concern out there, and mostly also from the Israelis who happen to live in the backyard in the Middle East, and rightly so. I think part of this discussion that has to take place is, what's our plan? You know, the Israelis have reportedly launched attacks on Iran's nuclear scientists, most notably Fakhrizadeh back in November of 2020. He was the director of Iran's nuclear program, but that hasn't stopped Iran. And so what is our policy which will ensure that Iran does not ever have a nuclear weapon capability? I think that's something that we need to be discussing with the Israelis as well.
Yeah, we should. And not just with them, with the world in general. Coming up, the environment issue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Oh, oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Got me down in Mississippi where I don't want to be.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We know that we only have the possibility of avoiding a looming climate catastrophe if people like us refuse to give up while you work to meet the challenge of climate change. I beg of you, don't forget nature. Because today, the destruction of nature accounts for more global emissions than all the cars and trucks in the world.
Wow. That's pretty powerful. Maybe you recognize the voice. It's Harrison Ford, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and other great movies. Very strong liberal Democrat. He's a big pusher for climate awareness and doing everything we can. And you just heard him say how much emissions take place than all the cars and so forth. He was speaking at a forum in May 2020 dealing with climate change. He's done that several times since as well. But I wanted you to hear that particular bite as he talks about the emissions and the emissions concern, because Harrison Ford, like many famous Hollywood actors, which are certainly allowed to if you got the money, frequently travels via private jet. They do not go passenger, nor should they. I mean, if I had that kind of money, you're not going to see me sitting in coach. I'm going to be flying it myself if I have an opportunity to, or at least be in the jump seat or co-pilot position. Harrison Ford, while preaching everyone to be aware of the climate and think of our environment and protect it, and let me reemphasize to you, I am all about protecting our world and our climate and the future of it for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I am. But it's these onerous rules and everything that they place on everybody but themselves that not only irks me, but points out again the hypocrisy that exists. You got the state of California announcing the other day, we're not going to have any new gasoline cars sold in this state starting 2035. Now, that's what they say now. We'll see what happens when we get closer. You might have to give me a call in heaven, or it might be a shorter call downstairs, I don't know, to tell me if they're really going through with it in 2035. Or maybe I'll still be here to give them a hard time over it, God willing. But Harrison Ford went to that summit and many other summits using his own personal private jet. He has a Cessna Citation Sovereign. Oh, this is a beauty of a plane. I got to tell you, this thing, they first started selling them, began deliveries back in September 2004. And, of course, I don't know how old this is. It's probably one of the new ones. I don't know. It doesn't state this. But it's a Cessna Sovereign right now, Sovereign 680, which is probably what he has, sells somewhere between $7.2 million and $7.5 million. Oh, look, four currently up for sale. What do you say we all pitch in? How about a loan forgiveness from the Biden administration so I could buy a Citation jet? How about that? Think I got a chance? Don't hold your breath. Well, what he did in his last eight trips is documented by data from the ADSB exchange and Celebrity Jets. Eight trips, about 5,200 miles, emitting 35 metric tons of carbon dioxide in less than 2 months. In less than 2 months. He was in France last year in a conservation summit, and he said, it's hard to read the headlines, floods, fires, famines, plagues, and tell your children everything is all right. It's not all right, damn it. It's not all right. It's all right to feel frustration, anxiety, grief, but don't run away from it. Cry out for justice. Justice for Mother Nature. The Earth has irreplaceable ecosystems rich in carbon and biodiversity. By preserving just a small fraction of these wetlands, tropical forests, mangroves, we can protect our wildlife, our air, water, food, jobs, and climate. And that's true, and I would agree, we want to protect some of these areas. And so he's asking the younger generation, you have the energy and conscience to do what we have not yet been able to do. But if we don't stop the destruction of the natural world, nothing else will matter. But again, as going back to the emissions from his jet, emitting more carbon in the environment in less than 2 months than the average American burns every 2 years. Every 2 years. He did that in 1 month. You take the average person worldwide, according to stats, he burned in less than 2 months. What the average person worldwide would burn over 9 years. But he's going to preach to you. Harrison Ford.
Simply put, if we don't protect nature, we can't protect ourselves. This is what we need to do. We need to include nature in every corporate, state, and national climate goal.
See where that's going? We're going to make that the goal. It'll be a mission statement within every corporate, state, city, county, government, if they have their way. Now, again, I don't mind, again, saying we're going to try to do this and do, I mean, granted, if we had the smelters belching out what they used to all across the nation, and the days of what we saw in the early industrial age in Britain, I mean, we would be suffocating. And it obviously we needed to clean the air. And we've been doing a pretty good job. I think we're doing a very good job. But the problem we're having now, the mindset in this nation of climate activists like Harrison Ford and other celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio, who also has his private jet and goes, and the Kardashians, all proclaiming about we want to protect the climate. They want you to do it. And then they want the U.S. to do it. But the rest of the countries like China and India, they're going to do what the hell they want to. So whatever we do will not really matter when you get down to it. The so-called accord that Obama put us in and Trump ripped up as soon as he got in, climate accord, it was putting us at a disadvantage while the other nations could care less. If we find something equitable for all, let's review it. I do want to protect Mother Earth. God has blessed us in so many ways. Now, let me turn my attention to something else. This gets into my 50-plus years as a news journalist. And here's something I want to point out. Here's a headline that has appeared on a Fox News story. Oregon Safeway shooting. This happened over the weekend. Oregon Safeway shooting. Multiple people dead after gunman opens fire at grocery store. Multiple. Oh, my God. Well, you start reading it, and they've already got it written with that headline above it. Two people were killed by a gunman who opened fire. Two. Well, that's more than one, Larry, so it is multiple. Yes, but when you hear the word multiple, is that what you think of? Don't you think of at least maybe a dozen or more? Multiple? I'm not going to disagree that two is not just one, and you can say multiple. But whoever wrote that headline and based the story around it, and then probably broadcasting it, because, pardon me, you got various groups that would just pick up a story and run it like that, and they will shout out, multiple shot in Oregon, and they already know they're only two dead, it's all over with. Part of it in this case, I don't know what it does with Fox, let me put it this way. Because it involved a gun, let's make it sound more sensational. And part of it's just sloppy reporting. It's like saying there were about 13 at the event. There's no about 13. There might be about a dozen or less than 20, but about 13, that's a specific number, is it not? Yes, Larry, thank you to you it is. And thank you very much for the journalistic lesson at this point. Coming up, one MSNBC guy says, what is this guy, pointing to Trump, what's this guy doing not in jail? Oh, I got an answer for you. Coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottler Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottler customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So it was over the weekend that the MSNBC, MSNBC, Cross Connection, the nation's justice host, Ali Mustal, asked about President Trump. And he said this top legal expert legal analysis, this is in Mustal's opinion, that he's a top legal expert, legal analyst of the FBI search. He said, well, look at that. He said, I mean, I can't believe that they have not already just started shredding everything, right? I mean, look, my top-level expert legal analysis of the affidavit is, why isn't this dude in jail? Talking about former President Trump. Like, what does a man have to do to go to jail? I think one of the things that gotten out of, kind of missed in the media narrative over the last 24 hours that these 15 boxes were focused on, that's they've already found the man, President Sticky Fingers, already stole classified documents, top secret documents. Now, you know what? He just said, I'm a legal analyst. And he just forgot that you're not guilty until you're proven guilty. You're presumed innocent. He forgot that Trump allegedly stole the documents or the FBI claims he did. He forgot any allegation, attribution. But what gets me is that he goes on and says, he said, how is this man free? He said, what does a man have to do to go to jail? I've been asking that as well about all these rioters and protesters in our streets, the killers in Chicago, New York, Detroit, San Fran, L.A., that are arrested and then set free on bail or greatly reduced bail, and in part pushed and promoted by now VP Harris. How dare he make such a recommendation? Now, of course, many are saying, well, we were all shouting. Many were shouting anyway, not all, but many were shouting, lock her up, reference Hillary. There was a case, again, where documents were being mishandled, but I don't see him mentioning that at all. We're just talking about Trump and these papers that may or may not involve protected papers, privileged communications between him as an attorney, privileged communications as he, the president, and various attorneys or whatever. But that's just the way they're going to do it. They're just going to run wild, hair on fire, screaming, in his words, I mean, why isn't this dude in jail? Now, why don't you tell me why many dudes that are out there walking the streets after firebombing, torching, raping kids and things of that nature, why they're walking around the street free as a bird? Riddle me that one. Gabby Gifford Gun Control Group. You may or may not be aware of it. They're, again, going after shooters in at least five mass shootings, they say. And they're talking about some of these shooters had stockpiled guns and ammo. They used credit cards. And they bought all that. In the process, they killed 145 people. So they won't Visa, MasterCard, American Express to flag suspicious purchases and save lives. A Guns Down America campaign picking that up, saying again, yeah, we need to go after these folks and the credit card companies can report them. You think Big Brother is getting closer? Back in 2018, Visa, when they were being pushed by a similar campaign at that point, Visa refused to give in, saying it's not our job to set restrictions on the sale of lawful goods and services. Well, they're not telling you to restrict it. They just simply say, make sure it's reported. Oh, and then you got this. This is out of Roanoke, Texas. This is in the Dallas, Fort Worth Metroplex. a place called the Anderson Distillery and Grill hosted, and I don't know why they did this. It was stupid. They just cost themselves probably a lot of clientele. They hosted what's called Barrel Babes Drag Brunch. And what it amounted to is a kid-friendly drag show. Show containing partial nudity, sexualized minors. There was also, you're talking about people with guns, masked Antifa members with AR-15 rifles and handguns showing up to guard the drag show at the distillery. Yeah, they can have their guns because they're protecting kids attending a kid-friendly drag show. Somebody should protect those kids by making sure they don't go. Somebody should have told that distillery this is not a good idea deep in the heart of Texas. But the problem we're having, and maybe that's why this happened, this is the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I do know that Austin has gone blue. I know there are sections of blue around Dallas-Fort Worth, El Paso, San Antonio, and a lot of them are those who left blue states, who've gone to the south, like Texas, Florida, and they were trying to recreate what they left. How much of an idiot do you have to be to get your way out of New York or California and get to a state where you don't have all those laws and regulations, and now you start, well, you want to start all over again? I got relatives down there, and they say you're welcome to come, but don't bring your blue, stupid ideas to our state. Sound like they're still doing it. We'll be back tomorrow with another one. As always, I thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.